The following is a product of the Uprising High School Ministry at the Grove.
Tommy, you want to go for a ride? This will be funny. Yeah, it's probably better if it's... Oh, wait, who said that? That sounded like a Polici. Yeah, you're good. Bring your black chair up here. Yeah, bring your black chair. All right, I need a few strong guys, like probably like at least five or so. Five strong guys. If you think you're strong, come on down. Calvin, you're the strongest man in this room. All right. One, two, three, four. One more just sure. All right, so here's what's going to happen. You guys are going to all pick him up, okay? You're going to all grab a side, and you're going to pick him up. Give someone, you can video this if you guys want. He might die, so it'd be good just to have it, get a lot of YouTube hits. Death at church. So you're all going to pick him up, so everyone kind of like figure out where you're going to grab. All right? So just kind of pick him up in the air and get him like just shoulder high, get him up a little bit higher. Okay, really, really get under him. Okay, now start up and down, like getting him, throwing him up in the air, up and down. Get him really up there, full extension. Up, keep going, just keep it going. Try to see if you can get him to fly off. How much longer you guys think you can go? Keep going. Okay, all right, that's it, he died. All right, thanks for that. Go ahead and go back to your seats, and you take your seat with you. All right, so last night, get out of here. Last night I was at a wedding. It was a Jewish wedding, my first Jewish wedding I've ever been to. It was awesome. And it was in Huntington Beach, and it was some friends of ours, really good friend of my wife. She was actually in the wedding. It's a bridesmaid, and she was a rock star, super pregnant, and just, you know, did fantastic. And when we get into like the reception area and the party area, right? All this ceremonial stuff, like, super cool. Like, I think, by the way, I finally got to witness something I've always wanted to witness in person. Like, one of the stupid, yeah, we all have bucket lists, like, really awesome things, and we have just, like, the stupid things. I've always wanted to see the breaking of the glass thing, like, and now I want to do it. I almost want to get remarried Jewish, not, like, to a different person, but, like, whenever my wife and I renew our vows, I'm for sure doing the glass breaking thing, because it's awesome. Got to see that. So we go in. One other Jewish tradition for a wedding is they put the bride and the groom in the chairs, and they come out, and you pick the chairs up, and they have, like, the, you know, super cliche Jewish, like, that was more like mariachi or something, but it's a Jewish mariachi group. Southern California, everybody's Mexican. So we're lifting the chairs up, and the DJ's like, move the chair. Now you have to throw the chair up and down. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to pick the groom, in my head thinking, because, like, if I'm going to drop somebody, I don't want to drop the bride, you know, and it'd be funny if I dropped the groom. And so I get under the chair with, like, five other guys, and we're going up and down. I kid you not, there's no way anybody else was helping out. Full on, like, right now, it just hurts to do that. Oh, it doesn't feel good. But it hurts to do that, and we're going nonstop, and you do it for the whole freaking song while everybody's just holding hands, like, going in a circle, hopping around you. And they're just staring at you, and you're just like, I'm going to kill this guy right now. Like, not on purpose, not out of anger, just out of, like, I don't work out, like, ever. Like, I play Xbox and, you know, eat pizza, and that's the extent of my workout. And just lifting food to my face. Those are the only curls I do in my life. And so we did that. I was there. We were there until my wife and I couldn't leave the wedding until they played a certain song. Her friend, whenever we've been to weddings and parties and stuff like that, their song that they have is Baby Got Back. Like, and so, like, it was like, it's like whenever we dance or go somewhere, parties or whatever, like, that we have to have that song come on, and we just got to bust loose on the dance floor. And, like, we requested for an hour and a half for the song to come on. And I'm thinking, like, honey, we got to get out of here. Like, I got to be up at 4:30 in the morning and catch a flight so I can make it back to church on time. And she's like, I know, I've been asking. Doesn't ask. Finally, we tell the groom, like, hey, you need to go get the DJ and, like, get this guy on track, all right? And so he finally plays the song. We dance like crazy to Baby Got Back. Is that me popping back here? Like, I got gas? I don't know what I had at the wedding. They just fed me and I ate it. It was Jewish, so it had to be kosher. So no pork. And so we're dancing. We had fun. We don't leave there until, like, 1 or, like, 12:30. get back to my parents' house at 1. It's 1:30 at least by the time I get to bed. And then I'm up at 4:30. I think I slept for maybe 2 hours and 45 minutes. Solid. Got on a plane. Tried to sleep, but it's like you're up. And then they're like, excuse me, sir, wake up. Would you like something to drink? I'm like, no, I'd like to punch you in the face. Let me get 10 minutes of sleep, please. Nice gentleman trying to serve me things. And so I didn't sleep on the plane, land, get here, and it's just been nonstop. So if at any point I pass out, fall over, say something that doesn't make sense, just stop and pray for me in that moment, all right? Because I'm super, super exhausted. So, but we've been doing this, I think I had a graphic. We've been doing this series, and this week the big movie that came out this week is Marvel's Ant-Man, all right? Which, who saw it? 4 of you got, any girls see it? They're like, no. Oh, yeah, there you go. Rock stars, good job. So, Ant-Man, and so we've been theming. Now, I didn't see the movie, and so I'm totally, like, I know a little bit what Ant-Man is and all that, but not a lot. Like, I'm not a super nerd or anything. But I've titled this talk, Great Faith is Little, Little Faith is Not. And I hope to kind of, like, explain what that means a little bit. So Ant-Man, basically, like, he's this dude who was, like, a burglar or something like that. He was a robber thief, and they ask him to just be this superhero guy. And when he shrinks down, he's, like, got, like, superhuman strength and all this stuff. And so when he's tiny, I don't think, does he have the superhuman strength when he's big, too? No, right? Yeah, yes, only when he's small. So only when he's small, he's, like, crazy strong and, like an ant, right? Because an ant can lift, like, I don't know, I should have researched this, something like 10 times the amount of their own body weight. Is it a larger number than that? Is there anybody out there who's like an anthropologist? Is it not anthropology? I just figured it started with ant and it sounds scientific. So what? How many what? Did someone say the number? Someone need to know? 150 times? Oh my gosh. Okay, hold on. I weigh, 150 times. I weigh 210. I just had a wedding and was in Hawaii. Let's go 220. I gained probably 10 pounds. 220 times, what'd you say, 150? 33,000 pounds. So I'd be like me. So if I would have the strength of an ant, I'd be like me being able to lift 33,000 pounds, right? Now, but it's crazy, though, because he can only do it when he's small. And that's kind of the concept that we're going to look at today and why I titled Great Faith is Little, Little Faith is Not. So, like, great faith doesn't necessarily mean, like, if you think of someone with great faith, and you can feel free to engage and interact with me here, and, like, these glasses suck, and, like, the light is, like, and creating a glare, so if I don't see your hand, like, just wave it and just come up and punch me in the face. But if you think of great faith, what are things that you think of? Like, what do you think of when you think of maybe someone who has great faith? And it could be you don't have to dim the lights. Now it's all like, yeah, romantic and awkward. Welcome to the Grove. We're going to fall a little bit more in love with Jesus. Sorry. No, but when you think of someone, or maybe there's an example, maybe you know someone biblical or whatever with great faith, what do you think of? Who do you think of? What does that look like? Please talk. Like, to me out loud, raise your hand or something. Yes, thank you for volunteering. Your mother. So she prays a lot, for sure. Some of the great faith prays. All right, some, what? Definitely, prayer. All right, someone who prays a lot. What are some other maybe, yeah, like characteristics or things or whatever you think of with someone who has great faith? Sure, let's do it. All right, caring and loving, all right? So maybe someone who tries to really live out that Jesus-y vibe. Yeah. Someone who shares their faith with other people, for sure. Yeah, it wouldn't be that, I mean, it couldn't be that great if you don't want to share it, right? Or it's so great, you're like, mine, you can't have it, right? No, but no, great faith. And so I think when we think of anything that's great, and maybe this is just people in Texas, we genuinely think of things that are huge and massive and great and like overwhelming and like awesome, right? All that kind of stuff. What Jesus does though, and we're going to look at this, is he takes faith and he doesn't say that it's great faith is huge. He actually says great faith is little. All right, so I want to read this. I want to read this little section, this chunk out of here, out of Matthew 17. All right, Matthew 17, verse 14. If you have a Bible, bring it to church. It's kind of like going on a date without your date. All right, so I just made that up. That was really good. Holy Spirit's working. All right, Matthew 17, verse 14. When they came to the crowd, someone needs to write that down. Sorry. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. It's the first words. Okay, let's just stop right there before we get into what Jesus says. You have this father, and it doesn't say totally how old this guy is, but his son. He's probably fairly old, but he's had seizures just about his whole life that caused him to convulse and just, you know, you ever seen someone with a seizure? I've never, but they're in the movies all the time. They fall over. They lose control. Their body starts trembling and shaking violently. And if you're standing or sitting, if you're near, like, you don't have control over which way you fall or anything like that. And if there's fires nearby, this guy's fallen. And as a parent, you guys have those, some of you, or at least someone that lives out that role, right? As a parent, you love your child, and you just want your child to be safe. For us, like my wife and I, so we had our first daughter. We have a human coming on the way here in about a month. We don't know what it is. It's human for sure. And more than anything, like, people ask, like, what do you want? And I know what they're asking. Like, do you want a boy or do you want a girl? And, like, it's easy for me to say now, like, I want a boy because I made a girl, so I want to try the other one, you know? It's like a buffet. You want a little bit of everything, you know? You don't get, like, one full. And then if you really like something, then you go back for more. So, like, after this child, if it's a boy, you know, and then it's like, well, who do I like more, my daughter or my son? And then from there, I'll decide what I want to fill my plate with. I'm tired. I don't even know how that tied into anything. Great faith. Anyways, oh yeah, story. Yeah, love of a parent. There we go. So you, as a parent, you love, and you're willing to do anything, and you see this guy putting himself out there, because you have to remember, by this point, there's people in the community, religious leaders, who are not so, like, you know, down with what Jesus is doing. Like, they're not too stoked. And so it was really just desperate people who really truly needed hope and needed a Savior were the ones that put themselves out there for Christ. And there were other people who would, like, do it in secret and stuff like that because they were sort of ashamed and not sure. But this guy was so desperate. He was willing to put himself out there and humble himself and, like, drop on his knees in the ground before this guy. And he says, you need to help my son out. He's sick. Like, he's had these seizures forever, and he's getting hurt. Like, I just don't want him to hurt anymore. Like, I don't want him to have this pain. I want him to be able to just go through his day and not have to worry about anything, to be able to take care of himself. I think for humanity, the hardest thing is when we're forced to be super dependent on others to take care of us. Like, being sick is, like, the worst. A year and a half ago, I had awful constipation. And, like, leaning on your spouse for that, there is nothing more, like, unifying or dividing, depending on how you look at it, than going through those things. It requires vulnerability, like, involuntary vulnerability. Like, you can't help it. You have to be vulnerable. You have to just accept that help. And this guy just wants his son to be able to just live life and enjoy it and thrive in it. And so he asks for this, and this is the first thing Jesus says. Because he says, it's interesting, he's like, I brought him to, like, your disciples, like the guys you sent out and, like, gave power to do this stuff, but they can't do it. Like, they're not good enough, or they're doing it wrong, or something like that. And Jesus doesn't, like, go, like, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, like, if you get a complaint, or if someone comes, if you have a job, does anybody work? like any like restaurant like or like juice bar or anything like that, you were like, you have a customer come and complain to you and it wasn't your fault, you know? Like, do you like just turn around and find that person and go, you freaking moron, what's wrong with you? No, at least you shouldn't. You know, what you're trained to do is just apologize right away. I'm so sorry. I'm going to fix that for you. You know, you're supposed to take care of it. Jesus, like, not very good customer relations here. He just instantly turns around and he says, you unbelieving, perverse generation. Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the, like, Jesus, you picked them, dude. Like, you drafted this team, you know? It's your own fault. Bring the boy here to me. And so he kind of does it, like, I'll take care of it. But, like, in the process, like disciples, like, what's wrong with you? Like, you suck. Like, he says you're unbelieving. In other words, he says you, like, have no faith. Like, where's your faith? Do you have any at all? And he calls them perverse. Like, you suck at living life. That's essentially what he's saying. You have no faith and you're living this out wrong. You're not doing life right. You're not living this life out the way that I've like showed you for this whole time that we've been hanging out, have been friends, and that I've been teaching you to do. Like, you're not doing it. You're not doing it right. And you have like no faith whatsoever. And like, I love it because it shows that it's okay to feel frustrated. Because if Jesus does it, it's okay, right? Because he's perfect. It's okay to feel frustrated. It's okay to feel impatient. But it's not okay to let it control us, right? Because you see Jesus, he's like, man, how long do I have to stay with you guys? How long do I have to put up with you? Like, how long do I have to hold your freaking hand and walk through this life with you? Like, figure it out. You're grown men. You can wipe your own butt. Like, this shouldn't be that difficult. I've shown you how to do everything. And it's not even you that really has to do it. You just have to, like, have faith that I'll make it happen for you. You're not even really doing anything. You know, you just need to have faith that I'll do it for you. And so Jesus rebukes the demon and it comes out of the boy. And he was healed at that moment. Then the disciples came to him in private because they're ashamed. Like, they're not going to ask him right there, right? Like, why couldn't we drive it out? Like, why did I suck? Like, they're not going to do that in front of the crowd. They're going to, like, you know, pull their teacher aside. Throw the F that I got on that test. Like, why'd you fail me? Because I thought I studied hard and I put the right answers down. Like, they pull him aside and, like, why couldn't we do it? And he replies, because you have so little faith. In other words, you have almost no faith. Not small faith, but like lacking faith. Not size, right? But just you're almost lacking it. Like, it almost doesn't even exist in your life. And he says, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. I'm just kind of like, I wish I was there, because you know, at least like Peter, because he was psycho, right? Cut a dude's ear off and all kinds of other things. Like had to like go out in the middle of the night and like up to a mountain and like, in the name of Jesus, move, you know, like try to make it float like the mountains in Avatar, which is really awesome. And I wish that existed in real life. But then gravity and science wouldn't make sense. So it's okay. Right? But this concept is if you have just faith, the size of a mustard seed, which in the Middle East is like the smallest seed known to anybody around. Like, it's as small as it gets. What's really cool, though, is it grows into this huge, like, tree, this giant tree. It's this small, tiny seed and grows into this huge, giant plant. Now, we know, like, strawberries are even, like, smaller seeds or whatever, but there's no strawberries in the Middle East, right? No one's like, oh, man, I can't wait to get the Middle East for some strawberries. Fantastic. You know, Mediterranean strawberries, yum. No, everyone's like, I want mustard seeds and olives and grapes, right? But mustard seeds are tiny. It's the smallest thing that basically Jesus came up with, and that at the same time is filled with so much potential. Everyone knows when they hear mustard seed, they picture the seed and know it grows in this huge giant plant, massive. So Jesus tells them, listen, if you just have this small seed of faith, If you have faith that is little, then you will have great faith. That's all you have to do, and you'll be able to move mountains. Nothing will be impossible. Now, he doesn't literally mean like, okay, let's go move some mountains. You don't like where that river runs? Let's just shift this mountain this way and raise a plateau there, and it'll come right in front of your house, and you'll have riverfront property. You know, like you don't have to move the house. Let's just move the mountain. That's easier. No, what he's saying is he's over-exaggerating or hyperbole and gives a sort of rhetorical statement of like, all you need to do is just trust. Because ultimately, faith is trust. When Michael came up here and sat in this chair and like five random dudes came up here, like he had to trust that they wouldn't throw him off. Now, his trust was in the wrong people because they threw him off, right? But it's trust. He essentially had faith. These guys won't kill me. Or just that if they do, I'm going to go to heaven and everything's okay. All right? But faith is this trust that we have, that we're supposed to have daily in our lives. And it doesn't take a lot. It just takes a little for something amazing and huge and miraculous to happen. And that's the point that Jesus is trying to make. I think so often we think that if we're going to change the life of somebody, right, or if we're going to see some sort of crazy miracle happen, that we have to like bring people in and like, you know, and do like prayer for 12 days straight and fast and all that stuff's good and spiritual discipline and awesome. But the reality is like it just requires faith and not a lot, just a little to see something great happen. What's interesting, though, is that when Jesus, when they ask, you know, like, what did we do wrong? And Jesus, you know, kind of tells them. And ultimately, he calls them out before that, and he says they're perverse. Like, he says, like, listen, like, you're living life wrong. In other words, like, you can't do the things that I'm able to do because you're not living how I live. You know, like, if you're not living how I live, that means you're not, you don't have any faith in me. You're not trusting in me. You're not in this close relationship with me. And if you're not in this close relationship, nothing's going to happen there. It's not going to happen because you're doing your own thing. You're out on your own. In other words, you're serving your own will and what you think should happen. And I think too often, even as Christians, we try to think or assume what God wants for our lives and how we should live and the things that we should say to each other. Ultimately, faith is more than just believing. It's how we live. You know, we have trust, like I said, trust is what faith is. And we have to trust his plan and his call in our lives. And I don't know specifically what that means for you daily in every single moment. That's only you can seek that out. I mean, you have to be in a close relationship with him, praying constantly in the word daily. I mean, if you're not reading this thing, trust me, I took a break from it in Hawaii, not because I meant to, but just because I struggle too. You know, it's hard sometimes to remember to pick this thing up, especially when you're so busy, you know, in a hammock on a beach. And I felt so distant from God that week. If you want to have amazing faith and you want to see great things, it doesn't mean that you're doing amazing things. It simply means that you're just trusting God in every little moment throughout every single day. And for you guys that are going back to school this week and in the coming weeks, I truly believe that there's no harder place to have little faith than at school because your schedules are so ran out for you and it's so busy and there's so many people who don't have a heart filled with his love, you know? And if they don't have that, they're not thinking about him and they don't care and they might even think he's a joke. I know they do. I mean, I did. You know, ultimately, when it comes down to it, how you change their heart isn't by you at all. It's by you just living for God and trusting him and being obedient to him and asking him to show you what you should do, what you should say, how you should live to be more like him and just constantly pursue him and then all these people around you everywhere you are, they're gonna come before you. They're gonna come to you and ask for Christ and ask for his help. And their life will be changed and he will change their heart. The most important thing that you guys could do is live for him and pursue him. And it'll change the lives of everyone around you. For me, the whole reason I'm even where I'm standing is because a good friend of mine in high school tried to live this out and tried to keep him the most important thing, tried to keep Christ the most important thing in his life. And he'd invite me to church events and churchy church, you know, and do all this stuff and try to talk to me about God. But at the same time, he still hung out with me. He still showed me love when all our other friends would, you know, because we all took turns deciding when to pick on, you know, one of the other guys in the group. He would never gang up on that. He would never partake in that. He'd always defend the person or defend me. He never talked bad about anybody. He never chose to do something for himself first. He always chose to do something for everyone else around him first. He cared more about everyone around him than he did himself, and that ultimately led to him, you know, sharing Christ with me and changing, and God changing my heart, which is what has brought me to this moment today. And so by living this out and having faith that is little, small, the size of a mustard seed, in other words, trusting God in every single little moment, you can make an impact in this world so huge. You might just be dropping little mustard seeds everywhere, but they can grow into this giant plant, this giant tree that is rooted in love, that is rooted in Christ, and that's going to be the only thing that changes this world. No laws getting passed, no political anything. It's the individual. God came to change the individual. And it starts by having faith that is as small as a mustard seed. So my hope for you guys that as you start school, that you don't think about how you have to be this great, awesome, Jesus-y person, but that you just have to be somebody who just has faith that is small. And you will do great things, and God will do great things through you. And us as leaders and stuff, we're here to help you through that. So come Wednesday, bring people, invite people, plant some seeds, and keep yourself rooted in him. Let me pray, and the worship team will come up, and we'll just end with a couple more songs. God, faith is the hardest thing for our relationship with you. Trusting you is difficult. We're so opposite of you. It's so hard to trust something that we don't know well. God, help us to trust you more so that we can know you more and so that we can show you more. Help us to grow in you daily, God. God, give us opportunities to live out our faith, to have mustard seed-sized faith, God, and just trust you to show up and do everything. God, help us all in the moments that we think are insignificant to keep you at the center of those, to not just make the church moments and Bible and prayer time moments about you, but God, every single moment, every single conversation, God, be there in those. Help us to lean on you in those conversations, even the ones that we feel are insignificant and are just about sports or homecoming or whatever. Just help us just to have your heart and your eyes daily in every single moment and trust you in all those moments. God, we thank you for your love no matter what we do. It's your name we pray. Amen.